Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech for my power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Always been having, we have issue with our definition. Praise God. For example, there is, when you ask about the definition of faith, everybody has different perspectives to it. Unfortunately, speaking unto you about faith is what you are likely to walk with, rightly or wrongly. Praise God. And I have discovered that the major reason why we have issue with interpretation is culture. So most of the time we give cultural interpretation to certain context in the scripture. We give cultural interpretation, we look at it on the perspective of our culture, on the perspective of our tribe, on the perspective of our inheritance belief. And so we pack that thing. We give that interpretation based on what we have been told, based on what we have heard, based on what we have seen. And it has really disturbed a lot of things about the church. And that is the reason why the church has not come into proper alignment, because of wrong interpretation. Now we have issue with this fasting and prayers. And we are struggling with it because of what we have been taught. And most of those things that we are taught are not, does not have scriptural foundation. They don't have scriptural context. But we have wrongly believed and not tenaciously on it. And we say, oh, it's working for us. And so we will still continue in it. And I also have that same issue with this word called saint. Praise God. We look at saint and we give an interpretation which is not actually scriptural unto the word saint. And so we either abstain from being called a saint, or we plunge ourselves into the name called saint when we have not actually understood what a saint, who a saint is. Praise God. So it is very, 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 very important that when a preacher intends to preach message, he must not align his message based on his experience, based on what with his background, based on cultural thing, but he must make sure that scriptures is based on scriptural interpretation. Now, how do we have scriptural interpretation? From the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, two or three witnesses is not the witness of men. Because the Bible talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my testimony is not received from men. I don't take the testimony of men, because the testimony of men are distorted, could be distorted. It may not be right. But we look at the witnesses from the scripture. Now, when he says two or three witnesses, we can draw a witness from the Pentateuch. We can draw a witness from the prophet. We can also draw a witness from the New Testament. Then, with these three witnesses, you can firmly establish a certain truth and a doctrine. Praise God. So I want to look at the saint among us. I want to look at this context of a saint among us. Now, we just read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And we look at those people that we call the heroes of what? Of faith. So if we are to call anybody saint, they are the first set of people that should be called what? Saints. Are you following? They are the first group of people that should be called saying? Will you say Abraham is not a saint? Will you say Jacob is not a saint? Will you say Samson is not a saint? Will you say Jacob is not a saint? Will you say Peter is not a saint? All of them, will you say the man, the woman called Alot, Ahab, is not a saint? So if we look at them and we agree that they are all saints, then our definition of saint is wrong. Praise God. Our definition of saint is wrong. Why do I say that? Because we have looked at the word saint as somebody who is flawless. Hello, church. Is that not so? We look at saint as somebody who is flawless, somebody who is faultless, somebody without sin, somebody who has not walked in iniquity or in unrighteousness before. But that is not the same story with these people that we have read. Is Abraham without fault? Hello, church. Please, I want an answer. Is Abraham without a fault? Was a man of many weaknesses. Was a man of many faults. Or we want to talk about Jacob. Do we say Jacob is without fault? Fault? Yes, the name of Jacob surfaced here. He was a man of many faults. He was a man of so many faults. Are we going to talk about Samson? That Samson is what is without a fault? Samson had a lot of faults. He had a lot of mistakes. He had a lot of errors. And yes, he was among the heroes of faith, which we have all agreed that we could touch them as what? As saints. And so, then it comes to say that being a saint does not necessarily imply that you are a man without fault. Praise God. I want you to take note of how I use my words. There is difference between fault and sin. And as a matter of fact, if you want to interpret the word sin again, it's a diathesis. Maybe the Holy Ghost will help us and talk about it one of these days. And you will come to know that what sin is. Sin is a person. Sin is a man. Sin is a personality. And I've once said it that it's much more than art. Because there is somebody who instigates and orchestrated that act. And is that person. Dealing with that person, you are dealt with sin. Do you understand? So you now begin to see that if these people have faults, and yet they are called saints, then we will need to look at what makes them to be the saints. And align ourselves into that path. So that we can also be named as saints. Each time I see St. Peter, I call him St. Peter. And I deliberately do that because I understand the word saint. Are you without fault, sir? And I was not saying me to mock him. Because I have a deeper understanding of what a saint is. Praise God. If anybody call me, if you remove pastor and you begin to call me saint, I will answer you. Praise God. Because I need first and foremost to look at what makes me a saint. And find out that yes, actually, truly, I am fit to be called a saint. How many saints do we have in the house? If you are a saint, raise up your hand. Don't be quick. Don't be quick. Yes, Saint Lumre. Saint Lumre is a saint. And then we understand why they are saints. It's not just because they have received the Lord Jesus Christ in their life alone that makes them saint, but that is the entrance. Do you understand? That is the entrance. But there are certain things that makes an individual to be come the same, and we will quickly look at those things. Now, the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I read from verse 1. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, which we have read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Okay? They are the cloud of witnesses. What do they witness? They witness faith. And faith is not belief.
Hello.
Faith is not what? It's not belief. Faith is not belief. Faith is stronger than belief. You can believe a thing and yes, you don't have faith. Praise God. So if they call them, you know, a cloud of witness and they are named as heroes of faith, we must understand what makes them heroes of faith. Praise God. I told you, faith is not the same thing as belief. Everybody believes. There are people who believe certain things. Okay? But it's quite different from faith. The word faith is a noun. Do you understand? When you are talking about faith, you are talking about something that is much more potent. Something that is much more dynamic. Something that is much more stronger than the word belief. Praise God. So if you look at these men, they are heroes of faith. They are heroes of faith. And we have also agreed that if they are heroes of faith, we can also relate with them as saints of God. They are saints of God. Praise God. Now, in essence, cloud of witnesses. Now, let us lay aside every weight. In other words, there are certain things that we need to put aside that can bring in us, when we lay those things aside, that bring in us at par with these people. Hello, church. You understand? That can bring us at par, that can make us of equal rank, equal stature. We can share from that name. But there are major two things. And they talk about weight and sins. Weight is not the same thing with sins. Hello, church. Weight is not the same thing with sins. Many of us have done away with sins. But one thing that we are here to do away with is weight. Praise God. Almost everyone that is seated here, we have all done away with sins. And I've told you the definition of sin. Do you understand? Sin is a man. Sin presents himself as God. Sin presents himself as Lord. Sin is Lord over a lot of people. But we have done away with that aspect of our lives. When we give our life to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we sever our relationship with sin. We don't have allegiance with sin again. We become rebellious and disobedient with sin. We don't give sin any commitment again. So what we do is to show our commitment unto another man, which is called righteousness. Praise God. Which is called righteousness. But having done that, there is something that is left that we are yet to do away with, and that is what I call weight. Praise God. Weight. So if you agree with me that weight is different from sin, then we need to find out what is weight. Evil. Bodies. We call it burdens. It is also addressed as yoke. It could also be called anxiety. It could also be called as something that has become a priority for us. Weight. We want to do things for God. Weight does not allow us to do it. Do you understand? We want to say certain things. We want to pray. Weight will not allow us to pray. We want to fast. Weight will not allow us to fast. We want to come to church. Weight always disturb people from coming to church. We want to serve God with all our hearts. Weight. So, in other words, apart from the fact that the saints in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 have done away with sins, they also do away with what? With weight. Praise God. They do away with weight. They deliberately severe the weight and put the weight that could stop them from that race aside. Except we put weight aside. We can't be called a saint. Praise God. Now he said, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience. So in other words, the work of faith require running, and running deserves energy, and you can't run with a lot of energy when you have weight on your head. Have you seen an athlete who put weight here? That's where they wear body hug. They don't even put anything, they don't even, the body hug does not even have pocket. Praise God. Because they don't require weight. You want to run in the Olympics and you put this kind of things like me. This is a weight as far as Olympic race is concerned. This designed shoe that is so light for them. The reason why Nigeria have not made so much is because we don't have money for those things. Our boys are going, you give them canvas. Canvas is a weight. So before you put up your leg, the one in America is putting on has lifted and it's a bouncer. Do you understand? They are putting on a bouncer. Put one leg is bounce. But Nigeria is putting on, you want to win gold. It's not possible. Because of weight. The same thing with this, our faith. The same thing with this race. We do not require any weight. Because weight will not allow us to run with patience. If you carry weight, you are struggling between the race and the load, so that the load will not fall down. But once you lay aside the load, then you are free to run. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, looking unto Jesus, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I pray that the Holy Ghost will help us to talk about the cross. The day when I learned about the cross, I learned it while I was in cell. I learned it when I was put into cell. I was in cell for almost 3 months. Praise God. For a sin that I did not commit. And so it was then I read from the book of Galatians. I think Galatians chapter 3. That was when cross was interpreted to me. Okay, I said, okay, this is what cross is. I pray that the Holy Spirit will give us time to talk about cross one of these days, then you know. Because this generation must know. This generation must come to understanding that there are certain things that you need to carry. You are not carrying it because you feel that it's a flippant race. You feel that it's a joke. You feel that it does not require your energy. You also feel that it does not deserve your commitment. And so, you do it the way you want to do it, the way you look at it, that it's true it is, whereas that is not the way it is. Praise God. So, he was talking about cross. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy of that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and what? And faint. I want you to take note of those words that they are using. You be weary and faint. Now, one of the things why people become weary in the church is because of weight. It's because of weight. Weight is the major reason that makes you to become weary. You must lay it aside. Pastor D offended me. Pastor Bello can offend anybody. I don't know the number of people that are offended in this church. And I will still offend you today. Praise God. And you look at that as weight. Meanwhile, I don't know that I have offended you. Even when once I remember that I offended you, I will call you and say, I'm so sorry, I will hug you. And I've forgotten that I offended you. Because I don't want to carry weight. But you are still not seeing the weight. You are still grudging over the weight. Certain thing that does not have record again in heaven. And you want to run? Praise God. And you want to run? You have not learned Christ. You have not known Him. You have not seen Him. And you need to learn Him so that you know that these are the little ways. But that is not even where I am going today. Praise God. Now, conversion is very, very close. And is very, very, very near. And as a matter of fact, in this convention, every activity is hinged on each and every one of us. Praise God. The activities of convention is what? Is hinged on each and every one of us. Running it smoothly, running it effectively, running it without an itch, largely depend on me and all of us. Praise God. It depends on me. It depends on them. It depends on the pastor. It most importantly depends on you. But unfortunately, every one of us we have our own weight. I have my weight. There's no one without weight. I have hindrance. I have obstacle. I have barrier. I have limitations. In the area of time, I am limited. In the area of finances, I am limited. In the area of giving all that it takes for this convention, so many things compete with my time, with my money, and with my energy. Praise God. But as a matter of fact, what defines my commitment is how much more I can lay aside my weight to get the job done. Praise God. Do you hear that? What defines the definition of my commitment? You don't know what. Who can give me the definition of commitment? You go to dictionary and give me definition. But that's not the true definition of commitment. I'm going to give you a practical definition of commitment today. How many of you have boarded aircraft before? If you have, raise up your hand. Okay. You have, ma. Please stand up. As soon as you tie your belt and the aircraft taxi and take off, what has happened to you? You are completely committed. There's no going back. There's no going back. You can't say, I'm not going again. I'm not late. Do you understand? They will tell you it's late. All you need to do is to commit your soul to the hand of God. Unto you I commit my soul, oh God. You can't say, this aircraft is doing boo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo. I'm not going again. Wait, it's not a taxi, it's not a bus. That is the definition of commitment. In other words, it's a journey of no return. It's a journey of no return. Once you enter and you take off, why is taxing? Because he say, and that even depends on the pilot. As a matter of fact, by the time you say you are not going, you see those processes. Coming around, they will sit you down and say, this one has mental problem. I'm telling you, that's what they will do. They ask you, if you receive them, they will just drag you, take you to the toilet, lock you up there. and there's nothing you can do. Do you understand? So, in other words, that is what commitment is all about. And that is, this is exactly what we see in the life of the cloud of witnesses. The Bible said that if they had mined the city where they came from, but they have forgotten completely about the cities where they came from. They were looking for a city whose builder and the founder is God. So they have committed their life into it and said that we are not going to turn back until we see the city. Unfortunately, our definition of faith is that trust God for things and receive it. But it is so sad to hear this, that those guys did not even see the city. So why do you now use Hebrews 11 to define your faith? They did not even receive it. Some of them are privileged to see the city afar off, but they did not enter. So it shows that it's not even level a thing. It's not even level a place. Do you understand? The Bible said that they are mindful of heavenly things. Heavenly home. Is it heavenly home? So it's not that, oh, we are going to heaven. If it is heaven, they are already in heaven. But the Bible said that they did not receive it. They did not come to it. And it is us that come into it. And they are not yet perfect without our perfection. Praise God. We have a lot of work to do to save their soul. To bring them into the reality of what they dreamed of. Praise God. So their future depends on me and you. And so if you don't have the same commitment, then they are in problems, we are also in the greater problems. So in other words, saints among us are not necessarily the faultless, but they are those who stand steadfastly to the faith in Christ and ensure that the work that is set for Christ to be done is done. They are not necessarily the faultless. They are not necessarily, they are the committed one who decided to lay aside the weight that could hinder them from the pursuit of that goal. They are ready to run. They are ready to do things that others will look at them and say, are you beside yourself? Are you the PGT? Are you Pastor Shehi Osanibi? Do you understand? Are you Pastor Shehi Osanibi? I know sometimes ago somebody has said, check, they may go on legitimacy, Pastor Lord. They have accused me of that. But I'm not doing it for him. If it is for him, I would have walked away. Do you understand? And I keep on telling him that this work is my father's work. Okay? If it is for him, because just like I have a lot of faults, he has so many of those faults, I would have said, my own work, Tentimulibashi said. But I don't look at him. Do you understand? I have never for once looked at Pastor Shehi and say, oh, yes, it's Pastor Shehi's thing. No, it's not his thing. He was only privileged to be the head in this local assembly. Praise God. It is possible tomorrow that he can also go somewhere else and become head over that assembly, and whosoever is working with him must see it the way I'm seeing it. So when we fight, we find a way to resolve it. Because we know that this thing is greater than us. Do you understand? The work is greater than me and him. It's greater than all of us. We just find a way to resolve and to manage. Because we have crisis over and again. Even in England, it was in England, we are still fighting. Praise God. We are still, if I show you our chart, you say, do you understand? We are still arguing on, saying, no, it's not like that. And when he's winning, I say, okay, I'll think about it. And when I'm winning, you say, I want to sleep. I know the time. Praise God. And so, of course, We understand that. And we won't open it up because that is already settled. We already know who has the... Do you understand what I'm saying? So why? Because we have an understanding that is more than it is the Father's work. And we must get committed unto it. What I have not seen in this generation is commitment. I've not seen enough commitment. If these young people share their little experiences with you, you bow. And you will wonder, are you going to get there tomorrow? Everybody has paid price. You have not shown commitment to the extent of you being shedding blood. Have you done that? The Bible said that you have yet to resist sin until blood comes out of you. He's not talking about that kind of, do you understand? Where you know that this is death. Yes, but this job must be done. How many of you can risk your life when you know that there is death here? People does not come to church because of the rough road. And you say that one has faint. And you say that one is committed. And you can entrust the work of the Father into the hand of such individual. And you can bring them into committee to plan for the things of the kingdom. They will disappoint you. They ask you to come for choir rehearsal because it's raining. You say, Pastor, Brother Joshua, seriously. Commitment is your commitment. Where is your commitment? Do you think you are committed? Is that also be committed to the things of God? Is that what we read about the heroes of faith? That is not their lifestyle. The Bible said that they did not mind sword. They did not mind sword. How do you explain the man that said that deny Christ or we throw you to the lake of fire? And he said, we are not mindful of your decree, O ye king. But we know that the Lord God will serve. He will save us. But even if he will not save us, we will yet not obey your instruction. Commitment. Did you see commitment? And the king was angry. Of course. Is it 3 times that they burned the fire or 10 times? 7 more times. The fire would have been... Man, we would have been very gentle with them before. But he said, go and hit it 7 times. This one are rebels. He said, this is rebellion of highest order. In other words, there are certain ways that we must deliberately rebel against for us to show our commitment. We must deliberately rebel against it. Am I asking you to drop your exam for the things of God? That's not what I'm saying. But there are sacrifices that is required of us on daily basis that we categorize us as saints. Now what we saw in these people is not holiness. Hello, church. It's not a work of holiness. After all, we saw one or two of them. How can you name Samson on it? But Samson was a committed person. He was committed unto the annihilation of the enemies of Israel. He was born. For that purpose he was born. And for that reason he was called. He was a Nazarene. And he was conscious of the fact that the strength that was given unto him is to get commitment as army of God against the enemy of Israel. And he did all he could to ensure that he lived that life faithfully. How many of us are going to be faithful? How many of us are committed unto these things? Especially at this time, point in time when you will go home. Will you still forget about the autopsies? Can you spare your time and come for this? I've known a lot of people who, in the days of men, have worked in this church before. I know many people who will come from Niger State because of convention. I know many people who will deliberately customize their holiday for that period. I know many people who will travel from Lagos, leave their father and mother and say, Mommy, we go to the school because of our church program. They say, well, say we only pastor church. And you come pastor, but Monisheti must in church. Your mom will ask you, but guess what? Secretly, they appreciate you. They may say, hey, me, you're low, low, say, am I worried? I will find my way. Ah, over love, you are dead, and bed, me mind. He will tell you what, I will go. They will look for money for you. Because you are showing commitment. But when when you are not showing your commitment to this kind of things, they will not also show commitment to your finance. Praise God. So these people are not the faultless. They are not the blameless. But they are the people who are committed, seriously committed, and lay aside the weight that could compete against their faith. They have their personal yoke. Praise God. Is it not funny? I have my yoke. Jesus Christ said, take my yoke upon your shoulder. He didn't say put off. He did not say, come unto me. The book of Matthew chapter 11. Give me that scripture. Let's look at it. I think it's in the book of Matthew 11. Verse 28. Give it to us. 28. He said, come unto me, all ye that what? Labor. Labor. And are heavy what? Laden. And I will give you what? Rest. Go back. Go up. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, your yoke, your personal burden, your personal yoke is not laid aside until the yoke of Christ is taken. You don't tell him that, remove the yoke. When you remove the yoke, I will take up your yoke. It doesn't work. It's not faith. But once you now say, yes, I know I have this yoke. I have book to read. Like we said, some of us will come tomorrow now. Some will say, I just finished my class, 6 o'clock. I am tired. I'm going to break my fast. You don't learn about yoke. Praise God. Yes, I have yoke, but I can still carry this yoke. And you have one here. You have one here. And you are going. And as soon as they notice that your heart is genuine, you are ready to bear the two, they will remove the one. Oh, unfortunately for you, the yoke of Christ is what? It's light. Praise God. The yoke of Christ is light. And it is easy to carry. So why do we allow the weight, our personal weight, to distort us? Praise God. Number 12. The book of Numbers, chapter 12. It is true that many obstacles and barriers are staring us at face to test our loyalty. They will always be there. This man called Moses had his own. Moses was a man of many faults. God is awesome. When you say God is awesome, it's not because of the sky. When you talk about the riches of God, it's not because of gold and silver that he put upon the earth or in heaven. It's more than that. There are certain things that are riches, are certain uncommon things. There are certain art which he exhibited, which man cannot exhibit. The rich of this world, they don't have it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The rich of this earth, how can you choose a man like Moses? Who waited for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was coming, he was the first person to break the law. He physically break the law with anger. So he was a man of temperament. He was highly, and the Bible still addressed him as the meekest of all men. And the Bible does not, do you know why they say meekest? They were not talking about temperament. They were talking about his ability to receive instruction and abide with instruction without questioning instruction. And it takes a meek person to give an instruction and you don't question it. It takes a meek person. Naturally, people will question it. What is the rationale? Many of you must have questioned, what is the rationale behind this fasting of tomorrow now? Because you are not meek. Do you understand? But Moses, because of his meekness, yes sir. Yes sir. He will not have to eat. He will not remove from it. He will do exactly what God asked him to do. And he said, do you know that if he has acted even on his own, God can still back him up. But not so with Moses. And God looked at him and he said, this man is meek. So meekness is not defined by, that's why I said our definition of is is very faulty. Even English definition. When I want to look at the scripture, I don't look at dictionary to define, to interpret my something. No. Because I know that they will give me carnal interpretation. Do you understand? They give me carnal interpretation. If you go and check meekness now, they won't define it the way you have defined it. But you all agree with me that that is the definition of meekness. Praise God. But don't write that in your exam. Otherwise, he's an Englishman, he will mark you wrong. Praise God. Don't say that, okay, the definition is give what your lecturer give to you. So don't say somebody say in the church. I'm not there. Praise God. Now, so you look at that number from verse 6. Let's quickly read verse 6. My time is spent. And he said, hear now my word. If there be a prophet among you, the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. Verse 7. My servant. The word servant met my heart. So there are servants that are not servants of God. Those ones are not servants of God. Do you understand? Do you understand? Look at the first verse. They are servants, but they are not my servant. That part is Moses was customized, was a customized servant of God. Moses was a customized servant of God. Is Moses without a body? Is Moses without a yoke? Has a lot of it. The wife is even a yoke. If you marry the kind of wife that Moses has, you won't go come to church again all your life. Do you understand? You will never come to church. But Moses was able to put that aside. We don't hear so much about Moses' wife anymore. Whether the woman died, I don't even know. Whether he did not die, we don't hear more. We only heard about him once. Praise God. And yet, he's supposed to be as prominent as who? As Deborah. He's supposed to be as prominent as who? As Miriam. But he was not, because he was a torture unto who? Unto Moses. There are many things that torturing us, that deter us, that stop us, that will not allow us even to do the things that we're supposed to do for God per time. For us to become a customized servant of God, we really need to lay it aside. We really need to lay it aside. Some of us have testimonies. But I'm not here to share my testimony. Because my testimony is not like the testimony of God. But it is instructive for you to know that for you to have a testimony of my servant, it has to do with commitment. Offer therefore yourself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord your God, which is holy. Holy and acceptable. Holy and what? And acceptable is your reasonable service unto God. They are not asking you to go to the altar and kill yourself. But at the same time, they are asking you to offer yourself through commitment unto his things. Listen, when you see where God is, commit your life unto it. Your future is bright. When you see where you can feel that the things of God, rather than the things of men, do you know that a lot of people in church, they commit their lives unto the things of men, and yet they tag it into as the things of God, they have results. Do you understand? We are asking ourselves, we must see miracles in the church. We must witness wonders in the church. We must see all of these things. But these things come with what? With commitment. What am I talking about? I am soliciting for commitment. Especially as the autopsy 2011 is coming. And 2018 is coming, imagine, no? Praise God. As the autopsy 2018 is coming, one of these days I will give you mic. And you will minister with this kind of speed. Praise God. Maybe next Sunday. You will minister with this kind of speed, then you know it's not easy. Praise God. Do you know the speed of my message? I think it's more than 180. Do you understand? I was just saying it. It takes a lot of versatility for you to say things right, because you are not thinking as you are speaking. It's just coming. It's just coming. So when you criticize it, and the danger of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm soliciting for your help. I'm soliciting for your support. That let us lay aside all weight. Holiday is a major weight to this convention. Our holiday, we are going to resume what? December 12th. Abi? January 6th. January 6th, 7th. And of course, the convention starts when? November 27th. For you to be a saint, and for you to show your commitment on, listen, commitment is vertical, and it is also what? Horizontal. You are not committed to God if you don't show commitment to man. I'm giving you an example now. I show my commitment to him. I don't know who I was telling. I said, I don't know what will make me to steal things from him. I don't know what will make me to backbite about him. If I am backbiting about pastor, I won't say what I am saying now. He's already hearing in England. And he will be laughing at this man again. Do you understand? Why? Because there is a commitment. A lot of people say, Pastor Obi is my covenant friend. You don't know power. They are liars. When problem comes, that is when you will know whether they are actually covenant friends. Covenant is not easily broken. Do you understand? So we must be very, very, very careful. So we must understand that this time, what I am asking for is commitment. The hero of faith, what makes them heroes of faith is their commitment. We are starting the convention by the 27th of November. Abi? Is it 26th? 26th November, and we are ending it. That shows that everybody must be here by 25. It's a commitment. We must have to give ourselves into it. We must have to give our lives unto it. Even if you are going to suffer hunger, come. We will see if you will be hungry. If you have to go back home after that program, just come. We will see if you will not go home. This is a commitment that we are asking from every one of you. This is the kind of commitment that the hero of faith gave. And their name was registered. I pray that the God of heaven will grant us wisdom. He will grant us understanding. Every weight that beset all, that does not allow us good speed unto the journey of life, we resist it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every weight of sin, every yoke, body, peace that does not allow perfect living, I resist it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will rise for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.